America's promise. To President Johnson, a great society means government-guaranteed material prosperity and universal equality as defined and enforced by government. To the American founding fathers, a great society meant a political system which left people free to follow their own destinies with God's help. Not a nation devoted to the ideal of the common man, but a place where a man could become uncommon without a government to harass him and hold him down to a common level. America was founded and built into the greatest nation of all times by men who established a constitutional system of limited government to guarantee personal freedom, by men who, firm in their faith in God, spoke with divine authority when they said to their own government, "Thou shalt not abridge these freedoms which God has given us. Government shall not." That was the promise of America. That is a summary of my report on America's promise. The full report after a message from my sponsor. To President Lyndon B. Johnson, a great society means government-provided housing, government-guaranteed medical care, government-financed education, government-stabilized agriculture, government-subsidized arts, government-controlled industry, government-regulated jobs, government-created material prosperity, and universal equality as defined and enforced by government. To the American founding fathers, a great society meant the direct opposite. It meant a political system which left people free to follow their own destinies with God's help. The promise of America is obvious to anyone who knows her early history, knows enough about the founding fathers to understand their lives and their ideals. But the teeming millions from Europe who glutted our eastern ports of entry and pushed across the continent to the Pacific in the 19th century, they, for the most part, were ignorant of the details of American history. What was the promise of America to them? A promise of fertile land, cheap and abundant? A promise of great deposits of natural resources? A promise of good climate? There have always been other places with greater natural resources, with climate as good or better, and with land more fertile and plentiful than in the United States of America. Those American pioneers who pushed through gaps in the mountains, driving westward with blue vistas of hope and adventure in their eyes, were they in quest of social security or some kind of government-guaranteed existence? Were they yearning for the fat and easy life? Were they bound for the land of the common man? Most of them were common men in the general evaluation of the world. Most of them were poor and would have welcomed abundance. They all were human and would have been glad to be spared hardship and arduous labor. But these were not the things they sought in the New World. They expected and they encountered more hardship and harsh toil in the raw American wilderness than they had left behind in Europe. They were looking for a place where a common man could, God willing, become uncommon, where a man could become whatever his vision, his faith, his energy, his intellect, and his manhood combined to make him, without a government to harass him and hold him down to a common level for the benefit of the general welfare. In short, the promise of America was freedom. Today, a whole generation of Americans have been educated to believe that freedom means ease and comfort. Freedom is not a soft way of life, but it is the only noble way for creatures made in the image of God. When man is left free to struggle, he develops strength and wisdom by struggling. When forced into dependence upon government, he becomes a dependent personality, flabby and irresolute, with no will, courage, or personal convictions. A free man can dream and will dare to enter what Job called the warfare of life, to capture his dreams and transform them into reality. A dependent personality has no dream of conquering anything. He has instead greed. Greed to get all he can for himself, not by constructive effort, but by continuing demands upon the power which made him dependent. There are many hazards in a free society. One hazard is that there will always be people who will not manage their own affairs as well as they should, or as well as someone else thinks they should. But when you start passing laws to force people to do all the things that someone else thinks good for them, you are headed for a slave society. The early American patriots had a deep suspicion of our government, including the one they created. They knew that the worst threat to a man's life, liberty, and property is the government under which he lives. They knew that all governments will, if permitted, waste the labors of the people and ultimately enslave the people, always under the pretense of taking care of the people. Modern liberals are not suspicious of government. They worship government. They want to set government up as a kind of big brother deity to look after us and run our lives for us. Modern liberals presume that you, an individual, if left to your own devices and resources, do not have enough decency, ability, or good sense to educate your own children, provide your own housing, prepare for your own future, or help a neighbor in desperate need. Therefore, liberals want laws which will force you to do all things that liberals think you should do. They take money away from you and put it in a big federal pot, on the presumption that politicians and bureaucrats will make better use of your money than you would. But remember, politicians and bureaucrats are themselves individuals. As individuals, they, according to their own liberal philosophy, are incapable of managing their own affairs. Once vested with political power, they are, presumably, transfigured and transformed, automatically injected with enough ability to manage the affairs of the world. In short, modern liberalism rests on the assumption that political power makes men wiser than God. As philosophies of government, modern liberalism, communism, and fascism are all essentially the same. Each believes that government should have absolute power to promote the general welfare. The trouble here is that when government has absolute power to promote the general welfare, government must have absolute power to decide what the general welfare is. Why do communists murder people in nations they take over? Well, they're promoting the general welfare, as communists see it. The welfare state, with the usual trappings of government price controls, government fixed minimum wages, government subsidies, government relief for the poor, and government pensions, was tried out in ancient Babylon, ancient Greece, ancient Rome, in Mussolini's Italy, in Hitler's Germany, and in all communist countries. It has always failed to provide economic security, and has always ended in tyranny. A government which can take a warm personal interest in one citizen can take a cold, calculating interest in another. A government which can subsidize your farm or business or send you checks for unemployment or relief can also seize the bodies and property of your sons and daughters. Many Americans are pitifully confused in their efforts to defend Americanism against communism because they do not really know the difference. They have the leadership of modern liberalism to thank for this confusion. Using the police power of government to take from those who have for redistribution among those who have not is called by our liberals achieving economic justice through the processes of democracy. In communist countries, the same thing is called liquidation of capitalism through the dictatorship of the proletariat. What is the Americanism concept of helping the have-nots? Every American has an individual responsibility under God to help others in distress. But the decision as to when, how much, and to whom is legally and morally his and not his government's. Government cannot make men prosperous any more than it can make men good. Government cannot produce anything. It can merely seize and divide what individuals have produced. Government can give the people nothing which government has not first taken away from them. And the amount which government doles back to the people or spends to promote their welfare is always less than it takes. America is a fabulous country, a land where lofty mountains and deep rivers bear names that are music on the tongue, names rich in the lore and legend of marvelous and mysterious Indian tribes who prefer death to surrender. But America is more than poetry. It is a land where men know that morality, conscience, and happiness can be achieved only by individual effort with divine help. Where equality signifies the equal importance of individuals before God and before the law, but recognizes the infinite diversity of talents, tastes, ambitions, capacities, and material conditions as natural for free man and essential to the progress of human society. Where stern men firm in their faith in God speak with divine authority when they say to their own government, "Thou shalt not abridge these freedoms which God has given us." I cringe when I hear an American praise the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights and insinuate that it is an extension of the American Bill of Rights. The United Nations Declaration of Human Rights is a blueprint for international socialism. It is a promise of all member nations that the force of government will be used to level and spread material benefits until everyone enjoys the same kind of sameness that characterizes a fine litter of fattening hogs. The American Bill of Rights, on the contrary, tells government what it must not do. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects shall not be violated. Government shall not. That is the American philosophy of liberty, which spread abroad and tugged at the hearts of men all over the earth. That was the promise of America. This is the 10th anniversary broadcast of the Dan Smith Report. It is a revision of the first broadcast I made in this series 10 years ago. On this 10th anniversary of my broadcast, I have given you a brief of America's Promise, my original broadcast, because I cherish a great truth expressed by George Mason, one of our founding fathers. George Mason said, "No free government or the blessings of liberty can be preserved to any people but by a frequent recurrence to fundamental principles." That is why, through the years, I recur to the fundamental principles that form the bedrock of our society.